Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 14th of January, recording at 9:04 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. And I'll start by saying it will not have escaped your attention that these markets are pretty nervous, or a lot of people in the markets are nervous. Heck, I'm nervous, and I think that I'm sometimes calm to the point of somnolence. Well, why are people nervous? It could be what the Fed has said. It could be the increase in the oil price. It could be the shaky start that we've seen on Wall Street at the beginning of the year. Others have attributed it to January jitters, although I've never been particularly aware of that as being a reoccurring phenomenon. But I'm proceeding on the view, first with stock markets, that Wall Street, which really does contain the leash reference that I usually use with stock markets, saying that when Wall Street is ranging, let alone rising, it lets out the leash, in which case other markets can run and quite strongly in the overall bullish phases, such as we've seen for most of the last 2 years. And conversely, when Wall Street falls sufficiently to alarm investors, then it tends to rein in that leash on other markets. And if Wall Street plummets, and it's been a while since that's happened, then that really does cause a number of other markets around the world to fall at an even faster rate. Okay, so proceeding on the basis that Wall Street is in a secular bear market, long defined here as a generational long process of P/E ratio contraction and rising yields, then this very good rally, this technical bull within the secular bear that we've enjoyed really from March 2003 right on up to end of year, and even continuing with a few stock markets in the first half of January 2005, but that overall move, which is now just a little more than a month shy of its second year anniversary, is getting long in the tooth. Now, is it over? It would be certainly premature to say that. Could it be ending at this stage? Yes, quite possibly. And remember my best case scenario, and that's just a hypothesis, but that best case scenario of mine, which I've been repeating ever since I got back from holiday on the 31st of January and looked at the upper dynamics, was that the global rally could run well into the first quarter of 2005. And I do expect trouble this year, as you know, but the little bit of a surprise for me would be if it came at the absolute beginning. But we certainly did this year. But we did see some sharp downward dynamics, and thus the nervousness, and a number of leading stock market indices that had been confirming and reconfirming the global uptrend right on through the end of 2004 have seen at least a pause in here recently, and some of them have seen more than a pause. As you know, if you've been following my commentary and looking at the comment of the day copy over the last 2 weeks. So, how do we actually play it? Well, I'm playing it cautiously. I'm not abandoning ship. I have lightened recently, and I have opened some hedge positions. Will I make money on those hedges, or will I regret having opened them? In other words, have closed them at a loss at some point. Well, they are out of the money here right now, particularly the S&P MIB. That's the Italian stock market index. I shorted that, and I shorted the DAX. These are not big aggressive positions, and I don't think it's a time for big aggressive positions in any market, but I'd seen enough to feel that I should hedge in case we got more than just a little pause that refreshes here at these levels. But I emphasize that point. I don't think this is a time for being aggressive in any respect. But my overall strategy here would really be to continue to lighten on strength, and hopefully we will see some further strength in most markets. And as far as I'm concerned, and my subscribers are concerned, and particularly those where we have our have our biggest positions, I do not think this is the time to be plowing a lot of new money into stock markets. I think this is a time when we're going to see some rotational changes. We'll see some catch-up moves by some of the laggards. I mean, I noticed with Japan, which I've described as in a consolidation phase recently, but that second section index pushed to a another new recovery high for this current move. And it's really risen now, I think, 17 days, 16 out of the last 17 days. I place great store by that second section index as a lead indicator for Japan. So Japan has potential for a late catch-up move. Thailand it certainly has potential for a late catch-up move for reasons previously mentioned. Possibly Malaysia. Philippines still looks very firm. But generally, overall, I am cautious. I'd said, really, in the final months of 2004, that while the bullish short-term to medium-term outlook kept being reconfirmed, that was not making me more bullish. I was actually becoming less bullish because markets were fulfilling more of their upside potential. I feel they filled a great deal of their upside potential. A number of emerging markets and a number of markets that have benefited from the strong performance in metals and other commodities, such as New Zealand and Australia, really look overextended. They've paused, although the pauses, as I say, are not out of character with previous pauses. But the more important point is that they do look overextended, as do many, just about all of the top performing emerging markets, without exception. So, again, I emphasize caution at this stage. My strategy is to protect positions that I've got, thus the hedges, and to work towards lightening on what I hope will be some further strength in a number of my favored markets. Now, also in the category of if we get instead of markets peaking quickly, assuming they do peak, and I know that there are some spokesmen out there who are saying no problem, you know, the markets will go on soaring through 2005 and into 2006 and into the wild blue yonder. Well, every view's in with a chance. I really don't see it that way, but I think Christopher Wood's comment in his excellent Greed and Fear report posted today that it's probably not likely to, the rally's not likely to end very suddenly. It may take a quarter or so to do. If that's the case, then markets such as Japan, Thailand, and some sectors that have been out of fashion in the last couple of months but are now becoming quite firm, such as the energy sector, they could really do quite well, as could some of the high yielders during a more cautious environment if it takes a number of weeks to top out. But zeroing in on more of these shorter term factors here right now, of the three things that I said pose the biggest threat to global stock markets, and I've said this throughout the last few months, as you know, price of crude oil. I remember when that was down, getting close to the $40 level, spot price of crude NYME, I was saying that I felt that that was pretty much it. that we were back in an area of support, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the predictable medium-term correction in oil ending down there. Well, oil's back up here at 48.38 on the close today. So, obviously approaching the $50 level, which is a bit of a psychological level. And remember that the high in the crude oil price was, well, I think it was just a little bit above the $55 level. So it's closer to the highs than it is to the $40 level, let alone levels that a number of people had been predicting for oil. So to me, this is a negative factor that has now moved from the wings and back onto the stage where everybody can see it. And the other negative factor is U.S. interest rates. And we had a Fed Governor Poole saying today that the Fed, or hinting that the Fed might drop its measured move qualification statement at some point. You know, markets respond very quickly to these little hints, if that's what they are. But what we know for certain, as certain as anything can be in markets, that the Fed is set to make at least several more rate increases. Now, I'm of the view that the Fed doesn't know how many rate hikes it will actually be making. It can't know at this stage, because it'll be monitoring the economic data, it'll be monitoring the response of markets. But certainly, we do know that the Fed wants to move back to at least a neutral stance, if only to have the ammunition to be able to cut rates should the economy weaken. And there's some good reasons for feeling that the economy will weaken in 2005, and not the least of them being the fact that in the U.S. at any rate, the Federal Reserve and the White House tend, as I referred to it today, is to clean the stables in terms of correcting some of the excesses that we tend to see in the last 2 years of each presidential administration when the economy is being gunned for the election. Okay, now let's move on from global stock markets here at this stage, talk about the government bonds a little bit, because I don't want to keep you going too long on this audio. And that it was interesting here today. Well, now, first, I'm of the view, take the big picture, long-term outlook, that we are in the top formation development stage for U.S. Treasuries and JGBs. In other words, we have seen the lows for yields for many, many years, possibly even decades. And the long-term trend for yields is up, therefore bond prices down. If we get a weaker economy, let alone a recession, at some point in 2005 and 2006, I'm not forecasting that at this stage, but it is a risk, and more importantly, many other people are forecasting it. And you can see from today's report and comment of the day that the OECD leading indicators have been quite soft, or they've been leading down for the U.S. for a number of months now, and they're not exactly a tower of strength elsewhere, but that if we were to see a recession, then certainly yields and those long-dated bonds would move lower, but I really don't think they would be taking out the lows that we saw in 2003 for the U.S. and Japan. Europe, possibly, it could happen. Okay, on a very short-term basis, within this overall top development process, the PPI data came in lower than projected for the U.S. today, and that helped to push the March contract, 30-year Treasury bonds, up to a new high, which is at 114.05. This is the March contract. And it couldn't maintain it, though, and it closed at 113.14. So upside failure here today, although it was not followed up by a dynamic. In other words, a sharp fallback from those highs. So the market could still probe around and look at this, look at the highs again next week, depending on various different events. But I maintain somewhat nervously that Treasury bonds are a sell up here at this level. In terms of currencies, and this is very interesting because now we've really seen a change in sentiment from many comments that the US dollar was going to collapse. That's never been my view, as you know, to a view now that, well, Mark Farber, in a piece that I posted in Comment of the Day, saying everybody's too bullish of the various different asset carry trade plays and so on. Sell the assets and buy the US dollar. That's the most aggressive statement that I've seen of that type. But overall sentiment has been shifting a bit more in favor of the US dollar. And then there are a number of people who were looking at the charts and saw the dollar get down on its the US dollar index. This is dropped down near its historic lows, and you can see that chart again today. That's the monthly chart of the US dollar index. Those historic lows around the 80 level, and that certainly is a psychological support level, and to get a bit of a bounce. And my own view is that we can see the dollar range from here. I did feel earlier in the week that we might have seen probably seen the entire rally. But today it was quite firm, although not against the yen. It's down against, hit a new low against the yen in here today. But the euro fell back, currently at 131.07. That's down 117. But the dollar rallied against most currencies, or most of the other reserve currencies, but the yen was an exception. The yen is really quite strong at this particular time. So my feeling overall, I should say, is that I can envisage the dollar ranging here for a while, ranging mostly above this support level near 80. But I'm still of the view that we have probably not seen the eventual low that the dollar will reach, and I'm also of the view that it may not start or commence the overall bottoming out process in terms of a significant floor, not just a technical rally floor, until we get to that rare event multilateral intervention. I still feel that it would suit the U.S. interests to see the U.S. dollar weaken somewhat further. And I would be surprised, I agree with Christopher Wood in his comment today, I would be surprised if the Fed was seriously targeting the carry trade. And the Fed would be somewhat concerned about speculation overall. But remember, this is the Fed that allowed that whole NASDAQ bubble to go haywire. And I don't think the Fed is going to be inclined. Alan Greenspan, it's not in his nature to be taking a moral stand on the rights or wrongs of carry trades, and much less to try to control the degree of speculation that may be going on in those so-called carry trades. So that's pretty much my view on the dollar. And moving on to the commodity markets. First, oil, I maintain that that's in a secular bull market. I maintain that all of these industrial commodities are in secular bull markets. But those bull markets had run enough so that we are in a much more choppy phase, evidenced by the medium-term correction that we've seen in the oil price, which I maintain bottomed down near that $40 level last month. And I also maintain that the view that I was expressing last month that oil would, having been the first one to see the medium-term correction among the industrial commodities for the most part, would probably, or would at least be a good candidate to lead the way back up. And we're seeing, I think, some evidence that that is the case. The industrial metals, again, I feel that these are all in a secular bull market, but they've had huge gains over the last 2 years and more, and action has become much, much more choppy, a lot of sharp ranging activity, and we're likely to see more of that, in my view. So these are difficult to trade at these levels. As far as gold is concerned, I know that a lot of you are very interested in gold, and I'm extremely interested in gold. Maintain that that's very much in a secular bull market, as are, I believe, all the other precious metals, although palladium is the classic laggard and is still very much in its base formation development phase. But the prospect of a further short covering rally in the US dollar has unnerved investors in the precious metal markets, and indeed, if we do get a further rally by the dollar beyond what we've seen so far, and it's not the dollar's not testing its rally highs, but it, you know, another few days like today's, and it would be doing so against the euro, sterling, and a number of the other currencies, although not the not the Japanese yen. But should we see that additional technical rally in the US dollar, then that would obviously create a stiff headwind for gold and quite probably a number of the industrial metals as well. So again, choppy, nervous conditions here. This is not a time for having big aggressive positions. I have a number of sort of smallish positions, medium-sized position in gold, and I'm undoubtedly got too many positions, and I wish I had smaller positions than I actually have. So, agricultural commodities, I maintain that those are, for the most part, dirt cheap, and I'm listing things such as cotton, the grain and bean complex. But in the absence of any dramatic crop news, and we may not see that until we get well into the U.S. growing season, although there's also, of course, there are also growing seasons in pretty well all the other countries of the world. Brazil would be extremely important, Europe's grain crop, that will overlap with the United States season, China's grain and bean crop, so on. But this is not a time when we're going to be seeing a lot of weather-related news that would affect crops. So the commodities, despite being dirt cheap, are likely to go on ranging in what I suspect are these long type 3 bases. They can go on ranging for a good many more weeks unless some other dramatic news comes along, and I think the only thing that would qualify would be if China suddenly surprised the market by acquiring quite aggressively. That may or may not occur. And I think that's it, folks. This is a long audio already. I'll just say that bottom line on all this, this is not a time to be aggressive in these markets, and in terms of stock markets overall, no need to hit the panic button in here right now, but we really ought to be thinking more about taking profits, hopefully on strength, rather than adding new money. Have a wonderful weekend.